Today on Standing on the Word.
So the more we do that for others, the more we get that in return. God is promising us, and it's a promise in the Word, for they shall receive mercy. That's a great promise. If we show kindness to others, God will show more kindness to us. If we go the extra mile with others, God will go the extra mile with us.
You're listening to Standing in the Gap, standing for truth in a fallen world.
Welcome to Standing in the Gap, Standing on the Word, a verse-by-verse study of the Bible and the powerful truths that are revealed throughout God's holy Word. I'm your host, Mike Cross. Today, we'll hear Josh explain what Jesus meant when he told us to be merciful and how we will be blessed with mercy in return. And now, from his sermon titled, The Merciful Life, here's Josh.
Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll look at the merciful life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the one we love, the one we follow, the one we worship. We thank you for him. We thank you for what his teachings, and that we have them written down for us in our very own copy of your word. They're here in front of us. So I pray, God, that you would help me to teach these truths, to teach these words that Christ has said, these words that came out of his mouth. Help me, God, to present these truths with great clarity, with great power, with great conviction. And God, help me not only to teach these things, but help us in the pews, all of us, me included, to learn these things and to apply these things to our lives. Help us to know your mercy so that we might show your mercy. Teach us these things, and God, we're trusting in, leaning upon the power of your Holy Spirit to do this work today. I can't convince anyone to do anything or to be anything, but by the power of your Spirit, you are the convictor and the convincer and the changer of our hearts. So please help us here today. I need it. We need your help. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Like I said, I want to teach you what mercy is today, and so that we might, all of us, know the mercy of Christ and to show the mercy of Christ. And I could easily start out now. I know we have our kids up here this morning, and I could easily start out with a definition of mercy and just come up here with a dictionary term, a sentence of what mercy means. But I believe, and I think you guys would know too, that the best way to describe anything is a picture is worth a thousand words. So I want to paint for you a picture of what mercy is, so that you guys can understand it, so you guys can see it in your own mind, and you'll understand the mercy that Christ has shown to us. And the picture that I want to paint for you is of ancient Rome. Because in ancient Rome, they had a Colosseum. I think you guys know that. You can picture that in your mind, even as I'm talking now. The Colosseum is still there today, and people go and visit this humongous Colosseum, almost like a stadium we would visit today. If you go to a football game, we have a stadium. It's full of people, and this is probably one of the first stadiums you would ever find. It was called a Colosseum. And what they would do is the crowds would gather. I mean, multiplied thousands of people would gather in this Colosseum probably once a week. And everybody would gather. I don't think they had pom-poms. I don't think they painted their face or anything. But they all would gather in this Colosseum, and they'd bring out warriors. They'd bring out gladiators. Most likely it would be slaves. It would be prisoners, people that they would now get out there in the middle of this Colosseum, and they would do battle. They would have swords. They would have wild animals out there. And it was vicious. It was ferocious. It was bloody. It was a massacre out there. And the crowd around the Colosseum would all be cheering for whoever they wanted to win. If it was the guy over here who had a hammer, they were cheering for the hammer guy, you know. If it was the guy over here who had a sword, they were cheering for the sword guy. And everybody was just cheering for these people who they wanted to win. And by the time the contest was over, you had a winner and you had a loser. And the winner would be standing over top of the loser, ready to put his sword into the loser and kill him. And before he would do that, this guy would look up into the stadium, and he would see the Caesar. He would see the Emperor of Rome sitting up there in his box seat. And the Emperor would stand, and the whole crowd would be looking at the Emperor, because the Emperor was going to make the decision. Did this guy, this loser, is he going to live or is he going to die? And the Emperor would hold out. He's a determiner of this guy's fate. The winner looking up, the loser looking up. And the emperor would hold out his hand. And they say this is where our thumbs up comes from. And the emperor would hold out his hand like this. And he would do this. And if the crowd cheered loud enough, he'd show that person mercy. He would show that person pity and compassion. And he would let him go. And then he'd go, you guys know the next direction. And he'd go down. And if the crowd cheered loud enough for this one, then there was no mercy. There was no compassion. There was no pity. This right here actually means the sword goes into the individual. That's what a thumbs down is. That means the sword goes in. Kill him. Put him to death. No mercy at all. So he would do that. Every time this happened, he would start here, and then he would stand, and he would say, here, and crowds would cheer, and then he would do here, and crowds would cheer. And whichever one had the loudest cheer is the decider of that man's fate down there in the Colosseum. Again, thumbs up would mean that they saw the man, the crowd would be cheering. They'd look down and they'd feel for him. That's what mercy is, to see and to feel and to decide to show mercy. There would be people in the crowds that would say, I feel sorry for that guy. I don't want him to die. Look, he's bloodied. And he's a mess, and he's helpless, and he's hopeless. Let's show him mercy. We don't want him to die. Or the crowd could say, who cares about that guy? We want to see blood. And they would say, no mercy. The problem in this time was that almost every time, as you read, it was always this. These people were the most merciless people on the face of the planet. Romans were. I mean, it was the same thing. They were so merciless in that time that fathers had the same thumbs up, thumbs down for their kids. Think about that. If your kid was born and the father, he was the decider of the kid's fate, and they held the kid up and the father would do, yeah. And if he went down, the kid would die. Slave owners had the same thing. If a slave came in and he didn't like the slave, he could go one way or the other. They were so merciless. Husbands had that over their wives there. I mean, imagine that one. Your wife cooks a bad dinner and it's like, yeah, down you go. that's where they were at. That's how merciless it was. These were a ferocious people. It was actually said, and this is a quote from a book that I read this week, that in this time, mercy was considered a disease of the soul. Nobody showed mercy. Nobody had mercy. It was always, these people were a thumbs down people. And it wasn't just the Romans, it was the religious people of the time. Think of John 8 when they bring, imagine that. This is a religious people. We ought to be the most merciful people on the planet. But they brought the woman caught in adultery and brought her out publicly. They caught her in the act of adultery and just threw her out in front of everybody and said, she's been caught in the act, stone her. You know what they're saying there? Thumbs down. No mercy on anyone. That was the religious people of the time. And you know what? We're just like that today. You have different types of people coming to the church, and as soon as they walk in, it could be a drug addict, it could be an alcoholic, it could be somebody that's not dressed like we want them to dress, and we're automatically looking at them like, are we not? I mean, you guys sitting there, if you don't say amen, you're gonna say, oh no. We're like that. Because mankind is naturally a merciless people. That's who we are. That's what we are. In our society today, people will chew you up and spit you out. They will tear you to shreds. That's the world we live in. Get on Twitter. I mean, it's the most merciless place you'll ever find. Get on Facebook today. I mean, you cannot find mercy anywhere on Facebook. Watch our politicians and our entertainers and our movies. It's the most merciless place you'll ever find. Everybody is a thumbs down people. But Jesus comes, and I got to get through this introduction. This is who Jesus, the culture that Jesus is speaking to, and he gives these shocking words to this crowd of merciless people. And mercy's unheard of. Mercy is a foreign trait. Mercy is something you get laughed at if you show. And Jesus stands in front of this multiplied thousands of people, and he says, blessed are the not merciless, but the merciful people. In a crowd of Colosseum full of people that the world will be saying, thumbs down, but the Christians will be saying, show mercy. That's who we are to be. That's what he's saying here. These are the traits of Jesus' followers. When everybody else says thumbs down, we say thumbs up. When everybody else refuses, and that ought to, what it ought to be in this culture we're living in today, when everybody else is so mean and so harsh and so critical, and we ought to be the most merciful people on the face of this planet. That's who we ought to be. That's what Jesus is saying here. My people will be described as merciful people. It will be our character to show mercy to others. And that's what we're getting into with this passage. Let me get into the points. Because so far in the first four Beatitudes, the first four blessings that we've seen, it's been dealing with our attitude towards God. That our attitude towards God ought to be poor, and our attitude towards God ought to be sad and mourning. Our attitude towards God ought to be meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's our attitude. But now there's a transition to where he's going to show us how to treat other people. It's almost like the Ten Commandments is it's identical to the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments is how we are to be with God. Don't take his name in vain. Don't have nothing before him. Keep his Sabbath. No idols. It's us and God. And then the last six of the Ten Commandments are all going to be about how we treat others. Honor your mother and father. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. It's this level. So far in the first four, again, we've seen us and God. We're poor. We're meek. We're mourning. We're hungering and thirsting. And now he says, you are to be a merciful people. You are to be a pure people. You are to be a peaceful people. You're going to be a persecuted people. And he's showing us how we ought to live our lives, the character of Christians. Our character ought to be, and let's get into this, a merciful people. So let's look at it. Because I hope you understand, he's telling us how to be as Christians. Because a lot of people want to be Christians, but a lot of people don't want to act like one. So let's look at how a Christian ought to act. We ought to be a merciful people. It ought to be a merciful life. And I want to show you, just as we look at this verse in verse 7, he says, blessed are the... I'm going to read it again, but it's not a hard verse. You can memorize this easy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And he's describing here a cycle of mercy. And it is. It starts with, one, God showing us mercy, and then we show others mercy, and then God shows us more mercy. Are you with me? Let me say that cycle again, and we'll work through that on our points. Starting with, one, the recipients of mercy. God shows us mercy, and then we respond to His mercy by showing others mercy. And then when we show others mercy, we are, again, recipients of a return of mercy from God. Let's look at it, starting in point number one. I know you guys are a little bit confused, so let me give you points. Number one, let me show you the recipients of mercy. We are, first of all, recipients of God's mercy. Every single one of us in here have received mercy from God. The air that we breathe is mercy from God. That we get up in the morning is mercy from God. We are the ones that are down in the middle of the Colosseum, ready to die, deserving to die. That's me down there, and that's you down there, and God is up there, the decider of whether I will live or whether I will die. I'm the one that deserves to be killed. I'm the one that is down there that deserves the sword put into me. I'm the one that deserves judgment. That's me. I'm the one that is poor. I'm the one that is weeping and lowly and desperate. That's you and that's me. That's who we are. We're the ones down there looking up at God saying, I need mercy. Show me mercy. We're the, what Revelation 3 says, we're the wretched and the miserable and the poor and the blind and the naked. That's who we are. We're the ones laying in the dirt begging God to not destroy us. And I'm thankful, I don't know about you guys, that up deciding my fate is a merciful God. I'm so thankful that the one in charge, that his chief attribute is mercy. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 33, sorry. This is one of my favorite passages. I love it. Exodus 33. I want you to, as God first reveals himself to Moses, and I don't have a whole lot of time to get into this one, but as God first reveals himself to Moses in the Mount Sinai, I've preached this, I think, four times in the past few weeks. So I know the passage. It's kind of my go-to here lately. But Moses is going up into the mountain to have a face-to-face with God. And he asks God in verse 18 of Exodus 33. And he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And that's a request where he says, I want you to show me everything there is to know about you. I need to know more about you. Show me your glory. Show me you in every aspect. I want to know all your attributes. I want to know all your character. I want to know everything there is to know. And God said in verse 19, he responds, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be, watch this, here's what I'm going to show you, this is who I am. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And then later on in chapter 34, he goes down, and when God actually comes down and reveals himself to Moses in verse 6 of chapter 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy. You see that? I don't know if you guys are there or not. I want you to see it in your own Bibles. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Do you see that? He's revealing himself to Moses, and the first thing that he shows him is, I'm a God of great mercy. And this is all through Scripture. It's not just here. Micah 7:18 says this, who is God like unto thee who delights to show mercy? The one standing above the crowd, looking down and deciding our fate, is a God who delights to show us mercy. He's not a God that is eager to say, down with you, but he's a God that's eager to say, I desire to show you mercy. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says this, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies. The judge standing over us is a merciful God. We ought to be thankful that he's merciful. You say, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is merciful? It means that he looks down on us and he sees our condition and he knows what we're going through and what we're facing. It means that he feels with compassion. That's what the word mercy is. That deep down, it says in its bowels of mercy, deep down where you hurt at the deepest, when somebody hurts you, when something bad happens and you're hurting, it goes deep down in your gut. It's down deep where you are. That God looks down at us and he feels for us and he has compassion on us and he feels for us deep down in the depths of who he is. He has compassion on us. That's how God looks down on us. Do you understand that? That he's looking down on us even today. And he's not sitting there saying, down with you. He's looking down saying, I feel for you. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. I know your trials. I see all that you're going through. Oh, what a merciful God. He's not up in heaven oblivious to what it is we're going through. But he's up in heaven saying, I feel for you. It's a merciful God. And get this, I feel sorry for people a lot, don't you? I can be riding down the road and see somebody, and I did that the other day. Me and Gracie was riding down the road, and I saw, we was at Walmart, and a lady's car was tore up. And I drove by, me and Gracie, and I said, poor thing. And Gracie said, you want to help? I said, I'd hurt more than I'd help. There she was on the phone, hood up, car smoking. As I drove by, so I said, I feel for her. I'm glad that's not me. And I kept on driving. Mercy doesn't just see. Mercy doesn't just feel. Mercy doesn't just feel for people. Mercy acts to help people. God isn't just up in heaven saying, oh, poor people down there, they're so sad. They're so miserable. I feel sorry for them. And he doesn't just sit in heaven and say, oh, well, what can I do? But mercy drives God to act in mercy. Mercy doesn't just see. Mercy doesn't just know. Mercy doesn't just feel. Mercy acts to relieve the person's misery. And that's exactly what God did. God acts in mercy. He has such compassion and love for us that as he sees what we're going through, he sees our sinful condition, he looks down on us. And we know John 3:16 says, for God so loved, he so had so much compassion and so much pity and so much mercy on us, that God so loved the world that he gave of himself. He acted in mercy to relieve our misery. That's what God did. He acted and he sent his son to come down to us. That's like the emperor standing up there saying, what am I going to do? And he looks down there and he says, I'm going to send my son down there to help that guy, to help those in misery. And he sends Jesus down to us. And what does Jesus do? He comes down and what does he do? He heals the sick. He helps the cripple and the poor and the outcast and the blind and the deaf and even the prostitutes. He even ate with sinners. Jesus was the most merciful man who ever lived in the face of this world. Nobody was as merciful as Jesus, walking around helping everybody that he saw. He was moved with compassion. compassion and helped people, showing them mercy. Matthew 9 says he was moved with compassion. Matthew 14, he saw the sick and was moved with compassion. But the greatest act of mercy that we've ever seen is not when Jesus helps the sick and the cripple and the poor and the outcast and the blind, but when Jesus goes to the cross. Imagine this, the emperor standing up there like this, looking down on the wretched, the miserable, the poor, the naked, the one who deserves to die. And he doesn't do this, but he sees it, he feels for them, and he sends his son to go down and help them. And when the son gets down there and goes to help them, he's not just binding up his wounds and helping him to stand up. The son looks and says, not only am I going to help you, but I'm going to take the punishment for you. And instead of the sword going into the victim down there, instead of the sword going into the one who's lost the battle, instead of the sword going into the one who deserves it, the son goes down and the sword goes into the son for the one who was miserable. You know what that is? That's the mercy of God. The greatest act of mercy that we've ever seen is at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't just get in our shoes. He got in our place. Took our sin, took our misery, took all that we had and died for it. How much love and compassion could anybody have? And now, all we have to do is cry for mercy. Without one plea. Nothing owed, nothing demanded. And if you cry for mercy, God will save your soul. You will receive mercy from Him. If you will just cry out, He will do this for you. I won't show judgment to you. I won't show wrath to you. I won't be vengeful to you, but I will show you. If you'll just cry out, if you'll just by faith turn to me and say, be merciful to me, He will forgive you. He will save you. He will take you to be His own. He will show you the greatest mercy that you've ever seen. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And that will be my song forever. My God has shown me great mercy. I'll give you a verse. Titus 3:5. Come to my attention this week. Just scrolling through Facebook and you usually see, you know, just merciless things. Scrolling through Facebook, I saw a verse. Mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Amen. Do you see that? It's not who I am. It's not what I've done. It has nothing to do with me. It's just that my God is a merciful God. He saved us. We are the recipients of mercy. That's the whole first point. God has shown us great saving mercy. 100% of our salvation, entirely and completely, is of mercy. Every link in the chain of Romans chapter 8, He chose us out of mercy. He saves us out of His mercy. He sanctifies us even today, watches over us, takes care of us. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning that I wake up, I deserve this, and my God gives me this. It's mercy every morning for me. You got mercy today. You have clothes on your back because of mercy. He's showing us great mercy. We are the recipients of God's mercy. He has poured it down upon us. The Bible actually says that His wrath is like a vial. You see, it's like a dropper. Do you understand that? To go through in Revelation, it's vials of wrath. It's like those little droppers that you give your kids, you know. They don't want medicine in full, you know, force. If I need medicine, Steph just pours it down my throat. But for our kids to say, open wide, you know, just a little drop, it ain't that bad. The Bible describes God's wrath as a dropper. Oh, it'll open up one day. Yes. But it's a dropper. And it describes His mercy today as floods of mercy. That's what He's showing us. He's opened the dam of His mercy. And it's poured out upon His people. He is a merciful God. He's chosen us out of mercy. He saved us out of mercy. He sanctifies us out of mercy. And He will glorify us. And when we get to heaven one day, we will stand there and say, it's all of the mercy of God. every last drop. We are the recipients of overwhelming mercy. That's step one in the cycle. That took me longer than I wanted it to take, but you need to understand that God has been very merciful to us. So how do we respond? See, that's point number two. Point number one was the recipients of mercy. We are the recipients of mercy. Point number two is the response of mercy. Now that we've received mercy, and that's obvious, God has demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's mercy. So how do we respond now? What are we supposed to do because now that we've seen and received the mercy of God? And the answer isn't, do you think we ought to now be the most merciless people in the world? Do you think we ought to go around like this all the time? If we know the mercy of God, we ought to be showing the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, those who show it. If you don't show mercy, you're showing me two things. That either you haven't received mercy at all, or you don't understand how great His mercy is. Because if you have received His mercy and you understand how great His mercy is, that's the whole reason I did point number one, so that we would all understand just how lowly we are and how merciful God has been for all of us. We are the recipients of it. And as recipients, it's our job. Don't. It would be twisted for us to get the mercy of God, for Him to be so good to us, and for us to turn around to the world and show no mercy at all. Everywhere we go on Facebook, it's so negative and critical and down on everything. It's so mad about it all. Everybody comes in here a sinner. Oh, you deserve damnation. You know, you don't belong here. No, that's twisted. We are now to be, because of His mercy, the most merciful people in the world. Those who know mercy will show mercy. What God does for us, He now expects us to do for others. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Because of all the mercies that He's shown you, you now show mercy to everybody else. That's what this is saying. Blessed are the merciful. We are expected to be merciful people. You say, what does this mean? Yeah, you guys got great questions. I'll tell you. Turn with me to Luke 10. Again, this is how we respond to mercy. Let me give you an example. Again, a picture's worth a thousand words. Luke 10, verse 30. I'll start in verse 29 as you guys are turning there. I love hearing you guys turn. That's just music to my ears. That you're with me. Verse 29 of Luke 10. But He, willing to justify Himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? See, Jesus had just told him that he ought to love, verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In verse 29, he says, oh, who's my neighbor? You guys know this story. The kids here know this story. And Jesus answering said, and he's going to give him a parable, a story. Verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this road from Jerusalem to Jericho was winding. It was dark. It was dangerous. It was curvy. As you go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, there was nooks and there was hiding places and there was caves. And if you went down at night, there was always thieves and robbers that were just waiting to attack you. You never did that alone. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So did you see the condition there? That's a miserable condition. The thieves have shown no mercy to this guy at all. They've attacked him, took everything that he had, and left him for half dead. It even says that he's half dead. He's on the brink of death. No mercy at all from these thieves. They just saw him coming by himself in the middle of the night, and they just come and they beat him and took everything that he had. He's now naked and poor and miserable. That's his condition. That's like the guy in the Colosseum that is getting ready to die. No mercy. He's helpless and hopeless. And watch this. Here's an opportunity for mercy. Look in verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. And this priest is a very religious man, a leader in the temple. I mean, this guy is, you know, like the preacher of preachers walking down that road. You know, probably had a nice suit and tie on. carrying his Old Testament scrolls. When he walked through town, people look at him and say, "There is the most godly man in the world." And he walks down this road, and he has an opportunity to show this man mercy. He has an opportunity to see this man, to feel for this man, and to help this man. That's mercy. And what does he do? A certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He took a great effort. It took work to avoid. This road is not, it's not like the highway. It's not like a four lane. It's not like you're just going to say, "Okay, I'm going to get on the other side." This is a small little road, and he sees him standing there. He sees his condition. He sees what he's going through, and he decides, "I'm not even going to look that way. I'm going to sidestep this guy. I don't want to be anywhere near that at all." He saw him. No compassion, no pity, no mercy. That was a religious man. He probably had excuses. "I got places I got to go. People I got to see. I'm a busy man." And he went the other way. The next one, probably didn't even want to make eye contact with him. I'm merciless when it comes to riding down the McDonald's hill and seeing a guy standing there asking for money. I've been known to look at Steph and say, "Let's give him some money." And I say, "Don't make eye contact." What? That's merciless. I see. I don't feel for it. That's what he does. And that's a preacher. The next one. And likewise, a Levite. This would be like the associate pastor in the temple. I mean, he's just the next in line. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and he looked on him and he passed by on the other side. No mercy. The priest, thumbs down. The Levite, thumbs down. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, watch what he did, came where he was, and when he saw him, this is what mercy is. You see with your eyes. You feel, not with your heart, but deeper down than your heart. And then you are moved to do something. That's exactly how God has shown mercy to us. He sees our condition and what we're in. He feels for us, and then what it says again, the bowels of mercy, which is deeper. That's what the Bible says. It's down where you hurt. And then it moves him to act. Watch what this Samaritan does. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him with his eyes, had compassion on him in his bowels of mercy. And what did he do? He acted. Verse 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. I mean, just this guy's no end in sight for how he takes care of this guy. And watch what he does. He binds up his wounds. He pours oil and wine. This is expensive stuff. And then he picks him up. I mean, who knows how big this guy was? He takes him and picks him up and puts him on his beast. And now he's walking instead of riding. And he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And most of us would say, "Enough there. I've done my part." I mean, Jesus could have easily come down out of heaven and took care of the poor and the sick and the miserable and said, "I've done enough there," and went back. But no, he goes the extra mile. Look what he does. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay it." Which now, and Jesus says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And the answer was, look in verse 37, "He that showed," you see that word? Mercy. Mercy. That's our example of mercy here. We see and we feel and we act. Mercy sees. Mercy feels. Mercy stops. Mercy draws near. Mercy reaches out. Mercy gets involved. Now you tell me, as you look in the mirror every morning when you get up, do you see the Good Samaritan? Do you see a guy walking down who sees and feels and acts and gets his hands dirty? Or do you see a person who is thumbs down about everybody and everything? Do you see, don't make eye contact. Do you see, stay away from, I don't want to help, I don't want to see, I don't want to feel, I don't want to be involved. What do you see in the mirror? I've already told you how convicting this is for me. When I look at my kids and say, "Don't look." You say, "Well, how can I possibly show mercy?" Let me give you a few examples. Number one, we show mercy with our words. I'm going to give you 3 of these. And you need to write these things down. Number one is we show mercy with our words. We speak words of encouragement to the discouraged. When was the last time you had somebody come up and encourage you when you were down and out? You know what that is? It's mercy. When you see somebody struggling, when you see somebody depressed, when you see somebody who, you see people coming to church all the time and they're just barely making it. I mean, they're just dragging kids in, and somebody can walk up to them and say, "You know what? I am so glad to see you here today. You are doing such a great job." You know what that is? That's mercy with our words. We are so quick to be a critic, is it not? It's easy to complain. I heard a quote this week that says, "It takes no size to criticize, but it takes a giant to encourage." So when you see people, and that's what it ought to be on social media, that's what it ought to be on our job site, it should be that way in our schools. When you see a kid, and there's kids up here today, when you see a kid sitting by himself, maybe even with tears in his eyes, eating lunch by himself, and you see them over there, I mean, all you have to do is to see that and to feel that and know that could easily be me at some point. And walk over and just say a word to encourage. This is so easy to apply. We are so quick to criticize. We are so quick to complain. We ought to be so quick to encourage. I can tell you, I was thinking about it earlier this week. I was just riding down the road and I thought about one of the first sermons I ever preached. And a guy in the church walked up to me. And I know it was bad. I know it was. A preacher knows when his sermons are bad. I felt like a failure. I walked down and I thought, I will never, ever get back up there ever again. This is over, you know. And I don't know if the guy knew, but I bet you he saw how down I was. 24-year-old preacher. I bet he knew. He felt for me. And he walked up to me, and I can remember it. He put his arm around me and he said, "That was so good." And I thought, I might be able to do this. And I may be standing here today because that guy saw me down and out and said, "I want to give a word of encouragement." He didn't spend no money. He didn't take me out to lunch. He didn't buy me a suit. He didn't get me a tie. All he said was, "That was so good." How far can a word of encouragement go to help somebody who is down and out? You know what that is? That's mercy. We need that. It may be a text. It may be... I said that we're the most merciless people on social media. What if we became the most merciful people on social media? That our words were there to build up people and to encourage people and to edify people instead of to bring people down. Who is that? That's what Christianity has become anymore in the church. It's all to knock people down instead of building them up. Right. Jesus says our words ought to be merciful words. Is that not? I mean, think about it. When you talk to other people, think of it like a house. Are you taking a sledgehammer to that house and cutting them down and criticizing them and hating on them and making them walk away from you saying, "I'm awful, you know? I don't want to do it anymore." Or are you there building words and making them feel encouraged? Again, it takes no size to criticize. Is that not a good quote? Which it takes a small man, is what it's saying. Small man criticizes. The big man encourages. Who needs this around you? Sometimes my wife needs this. You know that? She works as hard as she can around here, and sometimes she just needs me to go up to her and say, "You know what? You're doing a great job. You're a great pastor's wife." Sometimes my kids need it. I walked up to Gracie the other day, and I studying this, very convicting. I walked up to her and I said, "You know what? I saw her taking care of kids here at the church," and I said, "You know what, honey, you're going to make a great mother one day." And she's sitting there somewhere, smile ear to ear. So easy, is it not? And I need to be more of that to you. I need to be more of that to you. My text to you need to be, "You're doing a great job. Thank you for being so faithful. You're a good father. You're a good mother. We need these words. We ought to be the most merciful people in the world. You say, well, how else do we do it? Get ready to write down the second one. We are to be merciful with our words. We're to be merciful with our works. I need to do more of this. Mercy does more than just speak. It stops. It's more than just the Good Samaritan walking by and saying, you're going to be okay. Mercy rolls up its sleeves. Mercy is called love and shoe leather. Mercy visits the sick. Mercy comforts the hurting. When was the last time you saw somebody that was hurting and you just walked up, put your arm around them and said, it's going to be okay? We need more of that. When was the last time you saw somebody discouraged and you walked up to them and said, I'm praying for you? Mercy visits the sick. It comforts the hurting. Helps the widow. Mercy feeds the hungry and clothes the strangers. Mercy takes in orphans. Mercy forgives offenses and insults. Mercy loves the enemies. Mercy sees, feels, and acts, knowing that at any point in my life, the tide could turn. And I could be the one needing that word or that work of mercy. I'm helping take care of the poor because myself, I could be poor. I'm taking care of the hurting because I could be the one hurting. This is what this is teaching us. Blessed are the merciful. I'll give you one more and then we'll move on. I've only got a few minutes here left. I've only got 2.5 points for you today instead of 3. No, I've got 3. I've got 3. We show mercy with our words. We show mercy with our works. We show mercy with our witness. The greatest act of mercy we can do is by sharing the gospel with people. I can easily go visit the poor and feed them and give them water. I can easily go on a mission trip and dig a well and do a vacation Bible school for the kids. And it'd be great acts of mercy. It'd be great words of mercy. But unless my witness of sharing the gospel to them is involved in that, it's a waste of time. You're just helping them on temporal things instead of eternal things. We ought to be giving our words and our works, but our greatest act of mercy as a church is to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are miserable, they are naked, they are poor. That's their condition spiritually. So we must show them mercy by giving them the Lord Jesus Christ. We will pray for their souls. We ought to be weeping over their souls. They may go to hell, but they won't go to hell without us trying to stop them. That's who we are. We're begging people. They're on the road to destruction, and they're dying, and we're doing our best. Don't go to hell. You need Jesus. That's mercy. Preaching is, and you may not think so, mercy. That God allows lost people to hear one more sermon is mercy. That God allows people to know about Jesus, it's mercy. The gospel of Christ to poor, pitiful sinners is the greatest act of mercy we can do. That we see them, and I've got to hurry, and the condition that lost people are in, and I know that it used to be me. And I know that it used to be my sin, that used to be my condition, that used to be my misery, and somebody came and showed me mercy. This morning on the drive down here, you guys are going to be here a while. I got a phone call from my pastor. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He's pastoring a church near Nashville. As I hung up the phone, and all he wanted to tell me was, I answered the phone, I said, hello, and he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. And he just kept on and on. And I was in there thinking, yeah, yeah, amen. And as I hung up the phone with him, I thought, he showed me great mercy. I was a lost and dying sinner, and he showed me mercy. He pointed me to Christ. He showed me where I could find the greatest mercy. He just didn't give me a cup of water and some clothes. He didn't send me on my way. He showed me the Lord Jesus Christ, and I received great mercy. And now when I see lost people, when I see people sitting in the pews, there's somebody here that is lost today. And I want to be that pastor to you that points you to Jesus Christ. It's not me being mean. It's not me being harsh. It's me showing His mercy to you. I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you. If you don't know the mercy of Christ, come to Him and cry out for mercy. And you know what He'll do? It'll be floods of mercy. This is one of the greatest virtues of Christianity. When we show mercy, we are more like Christ. And watch how the cycle ends, and I'll close. This point right here will just be a half a point. Just a half. We see the recipients of mercy. We saw the response is that we are now show mercy. Those who know mercy, show mercy. And then in the end, we get more mercy. I was tempted. Do I say that one or not? I know how cheesy it is. Steph's sitting over there saying no. What do you think? No? You no? Okay. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Show mercy to your pastor, right? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Right there, my boys are giving me a thumbs up. It was pretty good. Come on. Those who know mercy, show mercy and get more mercy. I'm sorry. Not more mercy. You got to try it. And that's the final point, the return of mercy. It says there in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall. You see that? It's a promise. That word they, it's an emphatic in the Greek. It means they and they alone. Nobody else receives mercy but those who show mercy. That's what it's saying. You see the cycle? It begins with mercy. That's what makes this verse so hard to preach. It begins with mercy and it ends with mercy. What is this? And what this is it's a principle of return. The principle isn't with man. Understand that. If I show mercy to you, it's no guarantee that you'll show mercy to me. It's almost, that's if I show mercy to you, you probably won't show mercy to me. If I go out in the world and I show mercy to the world, they're probably going to step all over me and not show me an ounce of mercy. So that's not what this is talking about. What this is showing us, that if we show mercy to everybody else, then God will pour more mercy out on us than we've ever seen before. So if we show mercy, again, I'll say, if we know mercy from Him, then we show mercy, He will give us more mercy. And I don't know about you guys, but I need more mercy. I mean, it's that simple. We show mercy to others, then God will show it to us. If we don't show mercy to others, then He won't show that to us. It's, again, the principle of return. And to the degree, get this, to the degree that I show mercy is the degree that He'll show mercy back to me. If I am very kind and loving and patient and giving and encouraging to somebody else, then that same mercy will return to me. Amen. Do you get that? This ought to make everyone in here want to be more merciful. You know why? Because I need more mercy. Every morning I wake up and I deserve this. I need more of this. God will send more people my way that will show me mercy. If I'm helping somebody along the road and helping them bind their wounds and take care of them, then the next time that I'm in need and I'm on the side of the road, God's going to send somebody my way to show me great mercy. I need that kind of mercy. So the more we do that for others, the more we get that in return. God is promising us, and it's a promise in the Word, for they shall receive mercy. That's a great promise. If we show kindness to others, God will show more kindness to us. If we go the extra mile with others, God will go the extra mile with us. If we get this, and it's in Matthew 5, if we forgive others their trespasses, God will also forgive us our trespasses. But if we withhold forgiveness from others, God will withhold forgiveness from us. Merciless people are the most miserable people on the planet because God's not showing them mercy. Merciful people are the most blessed people on earth because God is continually, over and over, showing us mercy. Blessed are the merciful. It's just an abundance, an overflow of mercy. It's not a dropper of mercy. It's not up to my ankles in mercy or up to my knees in mercy. He is drenching me in mercy. Again, the psalmist said, and His mercies are new every single morning to us. What great mercy that He will continue to show to us. That's the return, that we are continually the recipients of His mercy. I love that. I need it. I need sustaining mercies, don't you? That God would continue to, as Jesus sustains the world and holds it up, I need Jesus to sustain me and hold me up. I need His encouraging mercy. I need Him to pick me up and say, go on, Josh. I need His preventive mercies. How often do we pray, God, give them traveling mercies? I need His preventing hand keeping me from getting sideswiped by a car, keeping me from picking up my phone and texting while I'm driving. I need Him to prevent me from those things. I need that mercy, don't you? I need that in the morning when I get up and I'm drowsy and I haven't had my coffee yet. I need God to spare me. I need mercy. I need His supplying mercies, don't you? I need Him to take care of me. I can't take care of myself. I need Him when I wake up in the morning and I look at my bank account and it's not what it ought to be, you know. I need God to say, mercy, I will meet your needs. I need that. I need His guiding mercies. When I don't know what to do or where to go and I can easily just make a mess of my life, I need God to say, mercy. I need His forgiving mercy. How many of you guys sinned this week? You don't have to raise your hands, because every one of you would be sky high with both hands. All of us have sinned on a daily basis. And you know what you need? Mercy. I need more mercy. I'll give you another one. I need His comforting mercies. Sometimes I get to feeling sorry for myself. It's a qualification of a pastor somewhere, that you have to feel sorry for yourself sometimes. It's hidden somewhere in 1 Timothy. I don't know where. I think it's actually in 2 Thessalonians. No. That's 2. Man, I'm 0 for 2. You guys are really going to show me mercy today. We'll overlook that, Josh. Bad jokes, mercy. But you wake up on Monday morning, you're like, I just can't do this no more. This one wasn't here, that one wasn't there, this one's mad about this, and this one's mad about that, and that sermon, that joke just fell flat. I'm going to wake up in the morning saying, the staff might even look at me and say, don't do it anymore, you know. And I need the Holy Spirit to come in and give me great comfort and mercy. Sometimes life just gets you down, and there's death. There's sickness. There's overwhelming trials. And you know what you need at that moment? You need the mercy of God. And there's a promise in this verse that if we are the ones showing mercy, we will be the ones receiving mercy. When you need it, He will show you the mercy you need. But you better be showing it. You can't be in the midst of needing mercy and say, okay, I got to go show mercy to somebody just so I can get, you know. It's reciprocal. We receive mercy, we give mercy, we receive mercy. There's a cycle. We receive mercy, we give mercy, we receive mercy. I'll say it again just so you'll remember it. We receive mercy, we give mercy, we receive mercy. This is not one of the greatest virtues of Christianity. That we are a merciful people. I'll close with this. Do you know God's mercy? As you're sitting there today, as I was going through this, have you received the mercy of God? Do you know what it's like to be in that condition where you are naked and miserable and poor and wicked? Do you know what it's like to look to God and say, be merciful to me, a sinner? Show me great mercy. If you don't show me mercy, I'll die. Don't do this. Show me mercy. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that's like? I want you to know that God's mercy is infinite. It's like an ocean of mercy. And all you have to do is go run to His mercy and you can be drowning in God's mercy. It's not only infinite, it's free. His mercy, you don't deserve it. All you can do is cry out for it. If you're here today, you don't know the mercy of God. You don't know His forgiveness. You don't know His love. You don't know His compassion. You don't know what it's like. All you have to do is, in your seats here today, is cry out, "Please show me mercy." And He will. He delights to show us mercy. I think He sits in heaven saying, "Please ask, please ask, please ask, I'll show it. If you will, I will plead with you today. If I could, I'd get down on my knees and beg you today. If you don't know the mercy of God, please ask Him for mercy. He will show you mercy. You don't want to stand before God because His mercy will run out one day. And if you know, if you die and you stand before Him without the mercy of God, you'll face the wrath of God. It won't be this. The opportunity for this is here and now. But when you stand before Him, and if you have rejected Him over and over and stomped all over His merciful offers, then He will show you great this. Can you imagine standing before God and getting this? So you must respond today to His mercy.
What a wonderful truth that is. And now joining with me today in the studio is Pastor Josh Tompkins. Josh, how can the church today improve their focus on showing mercy to others?
Very simply, we can develop the lost emotion of sympathy. That's where we need to be. The word sympathy means that we put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. And that's how we show mercy. That's what Christ has done for us, is He put Himself in our shoes. He came down to where we are. He lived the life that we're supposed to live. He got down and dirty with us. And getting down and in the dirt with us, getting down and eating amongst sinners, getting down and having friends that were sinners, getting down and doing what He did is why He is a sympathetic high priest for us even now, as He's interceding for us in heaven. So that's what we need to do. I'm not saying we need to make make lost sinners our best friends. We need to run in the bars and all those different things, but we need to sympathize with those who are lost, sympathize with those who are hurting, sympathize with those who are poor, with those who are hungry. We need to put ourselves in their shoes. What would I do if I was hungry? What would I do if I was thirsty? What would I do if I had no clothes? What would I do? What would I do if I was a lost sinner needing salvation? If we put ourselves in their shoes, then it should bring tears to our eyes, to where we want to do our very best to meet those needs, to share the gospel with them, to be truly sympathetic and show them mercy.
Thanks. And again, that's Pastor Josh Tompkins from West End Baptist Church. And we want to remind our listeners that we love hearing from you. So if you have biblical questions that you'd like to have them answered, please send them to us by logging onto our website at www.westendbsg.org and leave them there. Also search our website for a complete list of our outreach ministries and church services. And be sure to look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at West End Baptist Church. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time. Thank you.